Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello, and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Brittany Shapiro from Aspire Money Management. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at our website, aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at the website, click on the radio page to check out past shows and to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. So today we're tackling something that I think is hitting closer to home for a lot of people right now than they expected. What do you do if you get laid off when retirement is just a few years away? It's a situation that can feel like the rug getting pulled out from under you. And we're going to walk through 9 practical steps to help people in that spot find their footing. Throughout the episode, we'll be discussing, highlighting, and referring to a recent U.S. News and World Report article titled 9 Steps to Take If You're Laid Off Within 5 Years of Retirement. And I'm happy to have a host here, or I should say co-host, with Jacqueline. So someone who I think speaks for a lot of our listeners when it comes to the real life side of these conversations.
Brittany, it's so great to have you on the show. I'm so excited to do our first show together. I think this is going to be a great one. And honestly, you know, this one hits home for a lot of people. You know, getting laid off at any stage is hard. But 5 years out from retirement, I mean, that's a whole different kind of stress entirely.
It really is. And it's happening more than people realize. As the article I just mentioned explains, tens of thousands of job cuts were announced just in March of this year alone, with the technology sector taking an especially hard hit as companies just push further into artificial intelligence or AI. So if you're in that situation or you know someone who is, you are far from alone. Let's get into these 9 steps. The first one might surprise people because it's almost too simple. So pump the brakes on spending. That's it. Before you do anything else, just slow down financially. Don't make any big purchases. Don't renovate the kitchen. I know it's been annoying you how the oven is, you know, 20 years old. Don't book that trip you've been putting off. Just pause.
See, the kitchen, though, Brittany, that's where I cut the line, you know? But I'd imagine the instinct for some people is actually the opposite. You know, like if I lost my job, I might feel like I deserve a little comfort spending, a little shopping spree.
Oh, for sure. Instinctively, right? We're all human. That's completely human. And I'm not saying to go into lockdown mode where you're afraid to buy groceries, right? Like, and you're going to Costco and throwing everything in the freezer. But right now, every dollar you can serve is a dollar that's buying you some time and options. So in this situation, time and options are exactly what you need most.
Absolutely. So you've pumped the brakes now. That's step number one. What is next?
So what's next? Run the numbers. And I don't mean take a casual glance at your banking account. I mean, sit down and really understand where you stand. What are your monthly expenses? What does your savings look like? How long could you realistically go without a paycheck before things genuinely get difficult? And you need to factor in something a lot of people don't think about until it hits them, health insurance. When you lose a job, you lose your employer's contribution to your coverage. That's often a very significant cost that lands entirely on you. So we're talking about potentially hundreds of dollars a month, sometimes more, that wasn't in your budget before. You can really throw a plan off that looked perfectly solid on paper.
Yeah. So what's the move then, Brittany? So people figure all of this out themselves, or is there, you know, someone that they should be calling or contacting?
Yeah, good question. You may want to consider contacting a financial services professional, right? So, and I say that not just because it's what I do, but because this is genuinely a moment where having someone who can look at your full picture objectively without emotion can make an enormous difference. They can help you understand what you have, what you need, and how long the runway actually is. You know, and often they can help you figure out what decisions need to happen right now versus, oh, that can wait. Because not everything is urgent, even when it feels that way, or I should say, especially when it feels that way.
Yes. And I'm so glad that you brought up the emotional aspect to that. You know, that separation between both urgent and not urgent seems like it would take a lot of the panic out of this difficult situation.
Yeah, that's exactly the goal. Because when panic drives decisions, that's when people make moves they'll regret. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that leads us to step three, right? Is where some of those tempting but potentially regrettable moves live. So income options. And I want to spend a little time here because the decisions people make in the early weeks of job loss, when the stress is high and the picture isn't clear yet, can have lasting consequences. If you're at least 59 and a half, you can draw from retirement accounts like a 401k or IRA without penalty. But if you're younger than that, most withdrawals are going to cost you a 10% early withdrawal penalty on top of regular income taxes.
Brittany, I mean, are there any ways around that for people who are close but not quite at the 59 and a half age mark?
Yeah, good question. I know I can see very clearly why you're here to talk on behalf of the people, right? There are a couple. If you're at least 55 and you were just laid off, you may be able to pull from the 401k at the job you just left without that penalty, not from old 401k sitting at a previous employer's job, just that most recent one. There's also something called, it's an acronym, SEPP, which stands for Substantially Equal Periodic Payments. It's a way to access retirement funds early without the penalty at any age. But here's the catch. Once you start those payments, you're locked in. You can't easily change them or stop them. It's not something to do impulsively. Again, right? There's a theme here. You got to pause. And I want to be honest, a lot of people hear about this and think it sounds like the solution to everything, right? This substantially equal periodic payments. It can be really useful in the right situation, but it does require careful planning and you may want to consider professional guidance before you go down that road.
Well, and like you said, I mean, the general principle is you don't pull anything you can't put back. I mean, that's a one and done.
Oh yeah. Again, right? Irreversible. That's a great way to put it. You know, reversibility matters a lot here. You know, look first at the things like home equity, general savings, or even downsizing before you start tapping into accounts that have tax implications or that lock you into a pattern you didn't fully plan for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, Brittany. So, you know, you've stabilized here, right? I mean, you know where you stand. So those are steps one through three. What's step number four?
Okay, so step four, decide if you're going back to work or you're calling it and you're just going to retire. Because once you've run the numbers, you might find that you have more flexibility than you thought. Or you might find that you genuinely need more income. Either way, it's better to know than to assume, right? It's all about clarity.
Uh-huh. And if someone does decide to go back to work, does it have to look like, you know, what that they were doing before?
Oh, for sure. Not at all. Honestly, this is one of the more interesting parts of the conversation. So fractional work has become much more common. Mm-hmm. So fractional work, it's where someone with a lot of expertise steps in on a contract or a part-time basis to do senior level work, maybe strategy, consulting, or project leadership without that full-time commitment. So for someone who's close to retirement and has decades of knowledge to offer, that could, you know, truly, genuinely be a great fit.
Yeah. And if someone might actually enjoy doing something completely different at this stage too.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. There's, you know, real research showing that pre-retirees who turn a genuine interest into part-time work, whether that's a golf club, a bookstore, a garden center, tend to find that work surprisingly satisfying. It's not just a paycheck. Mm-hmm. So again, it's connecting to something they care about. And that's something to be said for not, you know, having to be the expert anymore, right? Stepping into a role where you're just there because you enjoy it. And that is genuinely freeing after a long career of, for most people, I will say, of high pressure responsibility.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds fun. I mean, who wouldn't want to do something that incorporates a hobby and get paid while doing it? So, all right, Brittany. So step number five, and I know that this one carries some big consequences here.
Oh, yeah. And you'll hear right why in just, you know, the first couple of sentences. It does. Reevaluate your social security strategy. If you already had a plan for when you were going to claim, a layoff may force you to take a fresh look at that. And I want to be really clear here about what's at stake. If you claim Social Security at 62, you could be looking at a permanent reduction in your monthly benefit. That cut, again, does not go away. Does that sound familiar? Irreversible. Uh-huh. You can't take it back. Irrevocable. However you want all the little, let's get the thesaurus, right? Like all the words that can describe in our English language that this is no going back. It follows you for the rest of your life, and it affects your survivor benefits as well. A lot of people think about the immediate need in the moment and don't fully think through what that reduction looks like 15 or even 20 years down the road.
Well, then the math really does favor waiting if you can.
I certainly would say that and think so. Full retirement age for anyone born in 1960 or later is 67. And for every year you wait past that up to the age 70, your benefit grows around 8%. Think about a couple where one spouse waited and one didn't. So over 20, 25 years of retirement, those decisions can significantly impact the total benefits that you may receive over time. So it's worth understanding the math before you make a permanent choice. Again, permanent, right? Can't take it back.
Well, yeah, but for some people, you know, some people just don't have a choice. If there's no room or no other income coming in, you may have to take it when you can get it.
That's the honest truth right there, right? And there's no shame in it. Sometimes claiming early is the right call because it's the only call. But the goal is to make that decision with full awareness, right? That clarity of what you're trading, not out of panic, right? You're doing it because you're informed. And that's another place where sitting down with a financial services professional can really help. It's about running those scenarios, looking at the numbers, and understanding your actual options. I'm also going to say, and someone who can help guide you through when something doesn't seem emotional, but it certainly is emotional and can give you that, again, objective, just advice. So before I go any further, so let me give our contact information again. So you can give us a call here at Aspire Money Management. It's 919-342-7715 or visit us online at aspiremoneymanagement.net. Scheduling a consultation with us is easy, and we're always happy to work around your schedule. We've actually got three advisors in our office, so we're quite flexible and we'd love to help.
Yes. Well, thank you, Brittany. Now we are on to step number six.
Yeah. So step number six, it's not going to be a big shocker again, right? Connect with your network. And I know that sounds basic, again, like I just said, but people underestimate how much this actually matters. So reach out to old colleagues, former managers, people you worked with years ago who might now be in a position to make that referral, right? Or know about an opening somewhere that is just only being advertised internally. Let people know you're available. You'd be surprised how often something turns up through a conversation that you maybe just didn't have. And you're like, oh, I'm thinking about it. I'm just going to pick up the phone and call or write that, you know, LinkedIn message.
Yes, absolutely. And I imagine that the online piece here is much more important now than it might have been, you know, the last time that some of these folks were looking for work.
Hugely. LinkedIn in particular. Make sure your profile is current, that it reflects where you are now and what you bring to the table. Think of it as your digital handshake, so to speak. You know, it's often the first impression someone gets before they've ever spoken to you. So if you don't have a professional online presence at all, you know, now you got some time on your hand and it's time to build one. A lot of hiring happens through referrals and networks, you know, rather than those job postings. So if you're invisible online, you're certainly already a disadvantage.
Yeah, and it's a muscle a lot of people haven't had to flex in a while.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, it can feel so awkward when you have been the one that, you know, you've had your head down and things have been so quiet. Everybody just thinks it's going, you know, fancily, right? No, it's just 10 years, 15 years, and never had to put yourself out there. Now is the time. But it does get easier, right? So the connections tend to come faster than people expect once they get started. So step 7 is to rethink how you approach interviews. And it's one that I really think is important for older job seekers specifically. One of the things that can quietly work against someone in this situation and walking into an interview and leading with nostalgia. Talking about how you remember when the industry was different or how things used to work, the employer may hear that as someone who's stuck in the past, right? Or not flexible or just isn't going to be pliable in the new workspace, right? Think we've already mentioned it once, AI, right? Mm-hmm. Be willing to look at new ways.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, I see that the step number 6 and step number 7 kind of go together here at getting out of that comfort zone. So, Brittany, what's the better approach to this then, or to interviewing?
Yeah, show that you're current really is where you would start with that. Know what's happening in your field right now. Know something specific about that company, their recent news, their current priorities, what they're working on, right? Walk in prepared to talk about the present and where things are headed, not where they've been. The combination of deep experience and current relevance is actually a very compelling thing to bring into a room, right? But you have to present it in a way that's very intentional. And one more thing worth saying here is to not let the age thing be what you're most focused on walking in, right? So employers worth working for aren't looking at your age. They're looking at what you bring. So lead with that.
And I'm sure that level of preparation also signals genuine interest in that particular opportunity.
Bingo. It tells them you're not just looking for any landing spot, right? So you're interested in them specifically. That matters. So step 8, let's go into that, call in your friends. And it's one people sometimes wave off because it sounds so soft, or the kids these days, right? Cringe. It's cringeworthy, but it's genuinely so important. Don't try to navigate all of this alone. You know, talk to people, let them in, be vulnerable on what you're going through. You may be surprised how many people have been going through something similar, knows someone who's been going through something similar, right? We're humans. You're usually going to find a lot more empathy than you're probably imagining right now.
Yeah, and get your community to rally around you. And there's a real mental health dimension to this too. I mean, mental health and carrying that kind of weight quietly is exhausting. Not being able to share with, you know, your best friend about what's going on with you.
Yeah, that's a really important point. You know, when you're exhausted, your judgment just isn't at its best, which is exactly the wrong time to make like a major financial decision alone. Lean on your people. That's not weakness, right? That's wisdom. Being able to raise your hand and say, hey, I could use your expertise. I could use your ear. The people in your life who care about you and want to help, let them. And the other thing that happens when you open up about what you're going through is that you'll often find out that more people than you thought have been through something similar. We could probably attach that to a lot of human things we all go through, but a layoff at this stage feels very isolating in the moment, right? Almost embarrassing, right? Mm-hmm. You think I've been doing so well for so long. How could this happen to me? But it's far more common than it appears from the inside. And it's often not a very personal thing, but it's so personal to you.
Yes, yes. And I'm with that last one. But all right, so we are on to the last step here, step number 9. And I have a feeling that this is going to be a little counterintuitive.
Maybe. It can be to some and to others, it'll probably be like, why didn't I think of this first, right? So it's to savor some downtime, really, truly. Now, I know it's a hard thing to say to someone who just lost their job, is worried about the future, and is like, right, remember, we just talked, like, I'm 5 years away from retirement. But if you have any financial cushion at all, whether that's a savings or like a severance package, which thankfully, you know, you hear a lot in the news that folks are getting, you know, use some of that space deliberately, right? Mm-hmm. So give yourself permission to just breathe, take a couple breaths, take stock of what this next chapter actually looks like for you. You know, what do you want? Not just like, oh, what's available, but what do you actually want? Some of the best decisions people make about their retirement really does come out of a few quiet weeks where they finally have the space to ask that question honestly, really. A layoff is hard, and that's a gift, you know. You're like, we're talking about gifts now, this is a gift, but truly, it can be a gift. It gives you the space, it forces you to look inward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it kind of just reframes the whole experience, doesn't it, Brittany? I mean, instead of just a crisis and worrying and making decisions out of fear, you know, it's a chance to be intentional about what comes next.
Oh, I think that's right. Yeah. And the people who take a little time to get that clarity tend to make better decisions, both financially and in terms of what kind of life they're actually building toward, right? Reacting out of anxiety rarely gets you where you want to go. Mm-hmm. So giving yourself even a few weeks of that honest reflection can change the entire direction of what comes next.
Yes. Well, I'm thinking about really all the 9 steps together here, and truly the role of a financial services professional or a financial advisor plays in all of this. Mm-hmm. So Brittany, can you explain how does that all connect?
Yeah, of course. It connects in a really real way because almost every one of these steps has a financial dimension to it. And the decisions people make in the first few months after a layoff like this can have consequences that last for decades. When to tap into retirement accounts, whether to claim Social Security early, how to manage cash flow without locking yourself into something you can't, again, undo, right? It's irrevocable, permanent. These aren't decisions anyone should be making without that full, clear picture and a trusted professional in their corner, right? Not just, you know, the neighbor 2 houses over whose second cousin, you know, had this experience, which may be nice to hear, right? Entertaining. Mm-hmm. And at least, you know, you're not alone, someone who knows what you're going through. But really that trusted professional who has gone through this before with several other clients, more times over than they'd probably like to like for their clients, but.
Yes. And Brittany, you brought up a lot of the planning side, but beyond that, you know, I think that there's something to be said for having someone who's seen the situation before and can really help you stay steady through it.
Oh, that's a big part of it, right? This is a high stress moment again. That when the financial side of things is in good hands, it frees you up mentally, really, and emotionally to focus on all those other things, everything else, your network, your next chapter, your well-being. The money is never the whole story. But when it's uncertain, it can crowd everything else out. That's what we work to prevent. And really what we're trying to do here is help people move from that place of anxiety to a place of clarity that shifts it. Like, it changes everything, how you sleep, how you make decisions, how you show up in conversations with your family. You know, whether you're buying that cup of coffee in the Starbucks line for that person behind you to give it back, right? Those are all great things. But when financial stuff is hanging on you, it can feel really dark. So getting that financial picture stabilized, it's not just about numbers. It's about getting your footing back. Yeah. So if any of this resonates with what you're going through right now, or if you just want to make sure your plan is solid enough to hold up if something unexpected should happen, you know, we'd love to hear from you. It's what we do day in, day out. We love doing this. So give us a call. It's again, 919-342-7715, or visit us online, aspiremoneymanagement.net, and you can schedule a complimentary consultation. So we'd be happy to take a look at that full picture, right? And help you figure out where you are and what comes next.
Well, thank you. And let's just do a quick recap before we go here. You know, the 9 steps for if you find yourself laid off within the 5 years of retirement. So 1, pump the brakes on spending. 2, run the numbers. 3, consider your income options. 4, decide whether a job search or retire early. 5, reevaluate your Social Security strategy. 6, connect with your network. 7, rethink your interview strategy. 8, call in your friends. And finally, 9, savor some downtime. So thank you so much to everyone listening today. And Brittany, it was such a pleasure to do a show with you.
Oh, same. Ditto. We'll see you next week. Who knows who you'll get, but take care, everybody. And Jacqueline, so fun to do this with you.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.